WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, the time has come once again, folks. It's 1 p.m. and Current Sports is in your ear for yet another fantastic show. I'm your host, Al Martin, rocking the mic, and I'm honored that you have decided to share your Thursday afternoon with the Current Sports crew and I. Much love goes out to you. On today's show, we will talk about the declining numbers in Pop Warner football and if they are a result of what we are starting to find out about concussions. And we want you to call in. Yes, you listening right now, whether in your car, at home, relaxing somewhere. I don't know where you are right now, but we want you to call in and give your thoughts on this topic. Would you let your child play youth football knowing what we know now about the possible detrimental effects that it could cause on the brain years later? Would you let your child get up there and you know, lace him up, put on that helmet, and go out there and take some hits? Would you let your child do it? 517-355-9527. Call us. 517-355-9527. We definitely want to get your thoughts on that. And on today's Current Sports, you will also get a chance to hear what was said after Michigan State took down Kentucky to become the nation's number one basketball team. They also received a couple of national letters of intent from two players. Find out who they are in just a second, and some expected news from the world of baseball as Max Scherzer gets a well-deserved nod. We'll update you on that and so much more. I also want to give a special thanks to those who showed up to last night's Current Sports with Al Martin television taping as I sat down with the founder of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation and head trainer of the Crown Boxing Club in Lansing. That's right, Ali Easley, such an inspirational guy. You can check out that episode tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV and also see me hop in the ring with Ali as he shows me a few things. That was certainly a fun time. You know what, a story away from, you know, you won't get to see this tonight, but after that whole training session with Ali went down, you know, Ali actually got back in the ring with Ali as Aaron and Tim Elkins were packing up. Of course, Aaron, engineer here at Current Sports, and Tim, who works on the TV aspect things here at WKAR. But they were packing up, and I decided to get back in the ring with Ali. And you know what? He said, all right, you want to hit some more? That's what I thought he said. I thought he said, all right, do you want to hit some more? But it turns out what he said was, all right, do you want to get hit? So I say, all right, yeah, no problem. So we start going through some combinations, and all of a sudden, he whacks me in the face, and my lip starts bleeding. Yeah, it was good. It was fun time, though. Fun time, though. So that's on the uncut scenes that you guys will never see, but I had to share that story. I still got the mark on my lip right now. But, yeah, you know what? I love boxing. I always wanted to try when I was little, man. But you'll get to see that tonight at 10 p.m. as I sit down with Ali Easley. You do not want to miss that, all right? Well, let's hop into the show. Here are your Current Sports headliners on this November 14th. 2013. All right. MSU basketball. The Michigan State men's basketball team has received the following two national letters of intent. Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Narwin Jr. That's somebody's real name. I'm not joking, folks. Lou Rawls, his nickname is Tum Tum Narwin Jr. That's one heck of a name. I know the media, of course. I'm going to have a lot of fun when Lou Rawls comes here to play, all right? But he's a guard. He's 5'10", from Nassau, Bahamas, went to Sunrise Christian Academy. He averaged 9.4 points and 8 assists per game as a junior, leading Sunrise Christian Academy to a 29-1 record last season, playing for Coach Lyle Linstead. He stands out for his toughness, leadership, and speed, also averaged 1.9 steals and 2.7 rebounds for the Buffaloes, shooting 45% from the floor and 34.5% from three-point range. Now, Sunrise Christian is ranked number 16 in the 2013-14 Super 25 Boys Basketball Preseason Rankings, ranked the number 61 player in the nation by Rivals.com and number 72 by ESPN.com. He averaged 7 points and 7 assists as a sophomore as Sunrise Christian posted a 24-4 record. So Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum Narwin Jr. will be rocking the green and white, folks. And also Javon Best. He's a forward, 6'5", 195 pounds out of Columbus, Ohio. Went to Gahanna Lincoln High School. He averaged 18.5 points, just about a little over seven rebounds, a little over 2 assists as a junior as Gahanna Lincoln High School, playing for Coach Tony Stabe there. It's said that he has great versatility both offensively and defensively, helped the team to a 22-6 record, advancing to the regional semifinals of Ohio High School Division I State Tournament, averaging a double-double with 18 points, 10 rebounds over the final 16 games of the season. His resume is quite impressive. 2013 honorable mention All-Ohio Division I team, 2013 first-team All-League, and second-team All-Central Ohio honoree. I mean, I could go on and on and on. He actually helped Central capture the 2012 Division I state championship by knocking down two clutch free throws, something that MSU looks to improve on this season. Free throws, though, in the final 10 seconds to secure a 45-40 victory. So Javon Best and Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum Narwin Jr., will be rocking the green. I can say Lou Rawls' name all day. That is, oh man, I'm going to have some fun with that. All right, MSU golf. Michigan State women's golf head coach Stacey Slobodnik-Stoll announced Wednesday that Sarah Burnham, she's from Maple Grove, Minnesota, went to high school at Wayzata High School. And Jacqueline Settis, of course, Jacqueline is an unbelievable golfer. She's really, really good, folks. I actually did a feature on her when I was back in my WLNS TV 6 days. Really good kid. She's from East Lansing, Michigan, went to Lansing Catholic Central High School. So both Sarah Burnham and Jacqueline Settis, they have signed national letters of intent with MSU and will join the Spartan women's golf roster for the 2014-15 season. This is what Stacey had to say about the local star Jacqueline Settis. "We are very proud to have Jacqueline as a part of our team. She has grown up as a Spartan and will now continue her golf career wearing the green and white. Jacqueline is a talented athlete who has excelled at a high school level in competitive golf, winning at both the local and national level. She will only continue to grow and help our team continue our tradition of excellence, both on the course and in the classroom." And Jacqueline, I told you, when you see her play, she is unbelievable, folks. I mean, she averages something ridiculous off the tee. I forget when I did. I'm trying to go back in time and think about that feature, but it was ridiculous. All right, it's more than me. All right, I'll tell you that. All right, MSU advances in Big Ten tourney soccer. The number 20 Michigan State men's soccer team defeated Ohio State 2-0 on Wednesday afternoon in the first round of the Big Ten tournament in Columbus, Ohio, earning their 10th shutout of the season. The Spartans advance to the semis to be played on Friday at 2:30 p.m. against either Wisconsin or Northwestern. Now, the Spartans will face the winner of the game between Wisconsin and Northwestern in the semifinal. That's Friday, November 15th at 2:30 p.m. The game will be broadcast live on the Big Ten Network. So congrats to the MSU soccer team. They look pretty good. Michigan State defeated Miami 3-0 in the play-in game of the NCAA tournament in MSU field hockey. The Spartans now improved to 13-9 on the season and advanced to take on Syracuse on Saturday in the first round. MSU outshot Miami 21-6 for the game and held the Redhawks to zero. Yes, zero shots in the first half. Now, with the win, Michigan State improves to 7-2 all-time in its opening round of games in the NCAA tournament and 9-8 overall. Michigan State advances to take on number 2 seed Syracuse again in the first round. The two teams met earlier this season in East Lansing, with Syracuse just giving it to the Spartans 4-0, a 4-0 shutout, in that first meeting. So we'll see what happens this time. All right, Scherzer wins Cy Young. The results of the Cy Young Award voting were announced Wednesday night, and Max Scherzer was the runaway winner. He earned 28 of 30 first-place votes from voting members of the Baseball Writers Association of America. Two voters from each of the 15 league cities cast Cy Young ballots. Now, Scherzer won with ease, tallying 203 points to just 93 for Texas Rangers ace Yu Darvish, who finished second. Now, Seattle Mariners right-hander Hisaui Uwakama He finished third with 73 points. Neither Darvish or Uwakama received a first-place vote. So Tigers right-hander Anibal Sanchez, he finished fourth. And Chicago White Sox left-hander Chris Sale finished fifth. Each received one first-place vote. Scherzer is the second Tigers pitcher to win the Cy Young in the past three seasons. Justin Verlander, of course, JV, ran away with the award in 2011 and finished a close second to Tampa Bay Rays left-hander David Price in 2012. Now, among American League pitchers, Scherzer finished first in, second in opponents' batting average, second in strikeouts, and fourth in ERA. So, yeah, Scherzer definitely had it going this season, folks. Well deserved there. All right, Florida State freshman quarterback and Heisman Trophy candidate Jameis Winston is a part of an ongoing investigation into a sexual assault complaint filed with the Tallahassee Police Department in December of 2012. Now, Winston's attorney, Jim Jansen, said police contacted him in February of 2013, but no charges were filed and Winston never has been interviewed by police. This is what Jansen said on Wednesday. Quote, it was closed in February and it was then handed over to the state attorney today. We've been cooperating with them and we've supplied them with witness affidavits. We hope this case will be resolved quickly in Mr. Winston's favor. Now, Florida State released a statement Wednesday saying Winston's status with the team has not changed. The quarterback met with reporters later without addressing the investigation. And this is coming from the school. They said in a statement, quote, we are aware of a matter that was investigated by the Tallahassee Police Department almost a year ago, but the investigation has not been closed by TPD. We cannot comment further at this time. We look forward to a speedy resolution of the issue. Now, there is no change in Jameis Winston's status. The school was responding to multiple reports connecting Winston to an incident that occurred on December 7th, 2012. In response to those reports, the Tallahassee Police Department issued the following statement. The Tallahassee Police Department has received several requests from local and national media for a case TPD received on December 7th, 2012, of an alleged sexual battery. The case was assigned to the Special Victims Unit, and TPD is continuing its investigation and has consulted with state attorney as to the direction of the case. A copy of their original report is attached to this email, blah, blah, blah. The incident report does not name Winston as the offender who is accusing of this sexual assault case says that the person who committed the crime is between 5'9" and 5'11". Jameis Winston is listed by Florida State as being 6'4". So it looks like nothing will come of this, folks. I mean, from just reading this report. But you never know. Only time will tell. Just had to bring that to you guys. Interesting stuff there. Of course, Jameis is a freshman and is a Heisman Trophy candidate. He's been ripping it up this season, folks. All right, the nation's largest youth football program, Pop Warner, saw participation drop 9.5% between 2010-2012. A sign that the concussion crisis that began in the NFL is having a dramatic impact at the lowest rungs of the sport. And this is our current sports question of the day, because this is alarming stuff. This, since Pop Warner started taking statistics on participation these past two decades, this is the lowest participation percentage seen, or drop, I should say, or that this is the biggest drop they've seen in those two decades. And our current sports question of the day is, it concerns this story because it's very alarming. And we want to ask you whether or not you would let your child play the game of football, knowing what we know now about concussions. We definitely want to get your feedback on this. We want you to give us a call. Would you let your son play the game? 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Now, according to the data provided to ESPN, Pop Warner lost 23,612 players, thought to be the largest two-year decline, again, since they began keeping statistics decades ago. Consistent annual growth led to a record 248,000 players participating in Pop Warner in 2010. That figure fell to 225,000 by the 2012 season. Now, Pop Warner officials said they believe several factors played a role in the decline, including the trend of youngsters focusing on one sport, but the organization's chief medical officer, Dr. Julian Bayless, cited concerns about head injuries as the, quote, number one cause. So Pop Warner, of course, is definitely trying to cover their butts on this one by issuing that statement. This is from Bayless, who is also a former Pittsburgh Steelers neurosurgeon whose 10-year-old son Clint plays Pop Warner outside of Chicago. He says, quote, unless we deal with these truths, we're not going to get past the dropping popularity of the sport and people dropping out of the sport. We need to get it right. So again, we want you to call in right now. Would you let your child play the game of football knowing what we know now about concussions? 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Really quick hits, and we're going to discuss this. I'm going to be joined by Matt and Jesse Steck to give you our thoughts on this, you know, if we had a son. Looking at the information that we now have about concussions over time, it's becoming a place of conversation in so many venues, and deservingly so. And we want to bring it to the show and discuss and give you our take on it. All right, really quickly, Sam Hurd, former Bears player Sam Hurd, who rose from the rough and poor San Antonio streets to the glamour of the NFL, he was sentenced on Wednesday to 15 years in prison for his role in trying to set up a massive drug operation spanning three states. Now, Hurd is 28 years old. He pleaded guilty in April to one count of conspiring, to possess and distribute cocaine and marijuana just days before his trial was set to begin. He was charged with drug conspiracy, accused of conspiring to possess with the intent to distribute cocaine and marijuana beginning in July of 2011 until June 6th of 2012. Now, U.S. District Judge Jorge Solis, he noted that Hurd's activity did not include many actual drug deals and was instead mostly agreements. Still, he described the scenario as a tragedy, because Hurd, who had no criminal history, he risked the success, accolades, and family in his life. This is a quote from Solis. This is what he told Hurd in the courtroom, which was half filled with Hurd's family and friends. He said, quote, for some reason, you chose to go another route and go down the drug trafficking route. You wanted to get into it in a big way. You just didn't start nickel and diming it. That's a direct quote coming from the judge. Now, when he heard the sentence, the former Northern Illinois player dropped to his head and let out a sigh of relief and tears because, folks, he could have faced life in prison. He only got 15 years, so he definitely got off the hook when it came to that one. Minutes earlier, he gave an emotional, if somewhat rambling, 30-minute plea, apologizing for what he had done and describing it in detail how he was trying to improve himself. He said he never used or sold cocaine. Hurd said, quote, I have a lot of regrets. I regret not thinking about the consequences. And this is when I believe he was even in a orange jumpsuit when he made this statement. Hurd, a popular player with teammates for his hard work and friendly personality, was arrested in December of 2011 outside a Morton Steakhouse near Chicago after accepting a kilogram of cocaine from an undercover officer. It was inside a bag labeled Happy Birthday. Dig that. So he gets 15 years, folks. Interesting story there. In sad news from the sporting world, a beloved figure in the sporting world, 5-time Pro Bowl tight end Todd Christensen passed away after complications from a liver transplant surgery at age 57 years old. The Oakland Raider great was well regarded in both on and off the field and became known as the Renaissance Man for his varied interest after football. Christensen went into broadcasting after his playing days, working for NBC Sports, ESPN, and the CBS Sports Network. He co-hosted American Gladiators. Remember that show, Matt? Man, I used to love that show, man. And had 3 self-published poetry collections. This is from a former teammate and QB, Jim Plunkett. He said, quote, he brought a lot to table as a person and personality, and also on the football field. He could catch everything thrown his way, basically. There are many counts from around the league talking about, you know, just how great of a person he Christensen was. Again, he dies from liver complications at the age, far too soon, 57 years old, folks. Well, those are your current sports headliners on this November 14th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, pick up that phone. Yes, I'm talking to you. Dial 517-355-9527. That's 517-355-9527. And today, our current sports question of the day is whether or not you would let your child play football knowing what we know now about concussions. Give us a call. 517-355-9527. And some of you have decided to weigh in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and on Twitter as well. Follow me on Twitter at AlMartinWKR. I want to read a few of those comments, Matt, and then we'll dive into this conversation. From Eddie. Eddie says, if my kid wants to play football, then I let him play football. There's a certain risk that comes with all sports. It's not my place to say you can't do this sport because you may get hurt. It's a part of growing up. Thank you, Eddie, for your comment. Spencer says, the only way you prevent concussions and injuries in sports is by not strapping up those helmets and cleats. Max Rebner. Max is a friend of the show. Of course, we had golf tips with Max throughout the entire summer. Thanks a lot, Max, for that. Max says, did anybody ever consider the days when football players didn't wear helmets? I can almost guarantee that there were less head injuries during those days because who in their right mind would be willing to lunge head first without a helmet? Helmets aren't protection. They are the weapon. So Max is arguing this from a perspective that maybe we should just take away helmets altogether so that players would be more cautious while out there playing the game of football, which is a very valid point. I could see that too. All right, Mike says, the decline isn't because of concussions. It's because of lack of interest from youth. They're more interested in Xbox, girls, and Facebook than playing football. Take it from someone who knows. I've coached youth football for 7 years. I've seen the decline personally, and not once have I heard a kid say, my mom won't let me play because of concussions. It's more like, quote, nah, I'm chilling. I just don't want to play, man. So there you have it. Very interesting perspectives from both of you, from all of you guys. Eddie, Spencer, Max, and Mike, we appreciate it. Again, if you want to weigh on this, and if you're not by a phone and you're on the internet or you're at work or something, you can weigh in on this topic. Go to facebook.com/currentsports. Again, our lines are staying open the entire show if you want to call in and voice your opinion on it. 517-355-9527. So let's get right into it. Again, we told you in our current sports headliners that Pop Warner, Matt, has seen a 9.5% decline in the span from 2010 to 2012. Do you think that it's because of what we know now of concussions? And would you let, if you had a little Matt running around and he said, hey, Dad, I want to play football, would you let him?
I guess it depends on how little he is. You know, if we're talking about less than 13 or 14, if he's still in elementary school, no, I'm not going to. I think there are so many alternatives. Like, why aren't these kids just playing flag football?
Yeah.
I mean, you get basically the gist, and I know it's not the same thing, but, you know, you're still playing football. It's a heck of a lot safer. I mean, there's information. I have some figures here from Mark Snyder, who was the co-author of Concussions and Our Kids. Seems like he'd be a good source for the subject. Yeah. He says here, kids are not miniature adults. By age 4, the heads of kids are 90% of adult size. However, their necks are much weaker than an adult's neck, and the combination creates danger. When a kid takes a hard blow from falling or being struck in the helmet, it is more difficult to keep the head steady. The result is greater force to the brain from being jerked inside the skull. He also says that kids don't understand the risks of playing. So, you know, you say that no kids would come up to you and, you know, if a kid wants to play, he should play. Well, a kid doesn't understand the long-term risks of maybe suffering a concussion.
Right.
If he's under 14. If he doesn't see those, you know, effects until later in life, like, how can a kid put that in perspective and right. have, like, an adequate understanding of, oh, yeah, it's safe for me to play football? He doesn't. He's a kid.
Right.
You know, that doesn't make any sense. I wouldn't put it in your kid's, you know, court to decide whether or not he wants to play football. You know, we don't know about the long-term effects of repetitive head trauma because one of the big things that's coming out, even in the NFL, it's not so much the, you know, the big knockout hits. It's the sub-concussive hits. The thing that happens every play if you're playing offensive or defensive line. It's these little things that add up over time and can lead to, you know, the complications that involve CTE, and then you get into the whole, you know, concussion situation that the NFL is going through. So I think there's more risks than people initially think. It's not just, oh, you know, my kid's going to get laid out going over the middle. It's just a play-by-play thing. Those things add up, especially if you are a little kid and you're not fully developed yet. I just feel like you can play flag football, learn.
Yeah, as you learn the game.
Nine-tenths of the basics.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, the only aspect that's being left out is getting hit.
Yeah,
I mean, that's it,
or tackling. You know? But, right. You know, you're still learning how to be in position to make a tackle. You know, right. You're still learning, you know, how the game is played. It's just a much safer environment. I don't see why it would be worth the risk to throw your kid out there when he's 7 or 8 or 9, when, you know, we're clearly finding things out that having kids play when they're under 14 is a tremendous risk. This article that I got off of time.com, Tom Brady's dad didn't let him play until he was 14.
Yeah, until he was old. And that's the thing, you know, when I look at this, and I'm going back to your first point, I mean, it depends on the age of the kid for me.
Right.
If we're talking about, you know, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids here, and knowing what we know now, I mean, reading the reports that are coming out about now about concussions, I mean, that's tough to say, I'm going to let my child go out there and risk, you know, some huge damage down the line that, you know, may not, you know, at first you may not see, but down the line, you know, as he starts to get older and older, I mean, you know, memory loss and, you know, vision and all of that stuff that we're learning now about it. I don't know if I can let my kid play, man. You know, now it's different now. If my kid's about, you know, if he's in high school and he comes to me and says, Dad, you know, I want to give this thing a try, I may be more willing to say, all right, go ahead, son. You know, he's at that point, you know, he's found himself in a way.
Right.
You know
what I mean?
He's more
up.
Mature.
He's
grown
his own
up.
Person.
His body is mature now. You know what I mean? And he knows what he wants to do. And, you know, it's about going through life and letting, you know, your children experience certain things too, to see if it's for them. So if he's older, then yeah. But if my kid is 7, 8, 6 years old, around that age, I don't know if I could let him go out there just simply because, you know, and all of this stuff that we're looking at now about, and finding out about concussions, it's scary. To be honest with you, it is so scary. And you look at, we talked about Tony Dorsett, of course, former running back in the NFL. And this is a man, I watched the Dan Le Batard show when he first, you know, when this first came out about him. And he was sitting there, you know, and they were conducting an interview. And he was saying about, you know, how he gets in the car sometimes because I believe his son plays soccer or something like that. And he's driving his kids to soccer practice or a game. And mid-drive, he forgets where he's going, even on a plane. Then he told a story about when he was about to hop on a plane, going on a business trip. He gets on the plane and totally forgets where the plane is headed and where he's going. That stuff is scary. That goes beyond. I understand football is a great sport. Football runs the world when you talk about America. It's a great sport to watch. It's a great sport to play. It's fun to play. Let's be honest here. And to be honest, as our culture looking at football, the reason why it's so appealing is, you know, to be honest, we like seeing those big hits. We love the aggression and the, you know, the testosterone that, you know, these players exhibit each and every Sunday, each and every Saturday in college football. We love watching that stuff. And it's now opening the door to another discussion and realm due to the fact that, okay, like you said, I mean, these subconcussive hits, even if you're just getting tackled and being put on the ground now, those kind of hits over time could lead to some serious stuff. Even depression, losing your mind. We've seen players lose their mind and kill themselves. I mean, you look at Junior Seau. I mean, there were signs of CTE in his brain, which kind of sparked this whole thing, to be honest with you. That really started this whole investigation as to, whoa, are there other players that are dealing with this? And, of course, the League of the Nile special, where we saw, you know, players involved with that who are just kind of just losing their minds after the game of football. That stuff is scary. So going back, looking at this, I couldn't let my kid risk that at such a young age. Now, once he gets older and he says, hey, Pops, you know, I want to get out there and try this thing, go ahead, do it with caution, though. Now, another point I want to hit on, man. I think that, you know, just now in the past year or so, this conversation has really come to the forefront where we're discussing it everywhere. I think that if we would have had this conversation and really took it serious, because in that League of the Nile special, it talks about how the NFL tried to cover up its knowledge of what was going on. I think if we would have, as soon as it was brought to the forefront, the NFL would have embraced it and said, okay, maybe we should start protecting our players to a degree, maybe in the 90s or even the 80s. I mean, earlier at some point, earlier than now. I think that the game would have evolved to a point where it's become safer. You know what I mean? Now it's so new that the game is still trying to figure out how to make, you know, these hits that players are suffering and concussions, how to alleviate that from the game now. It's new to us right now. If this would have happened sooner, this could be possibly a totally different conversation. There may be new rules in place, you know, about how, you know, even though those rules still exist today, now. But still, I mean, those rules over time, it takes a while for a rule to kind of mature into a sport. And we're seeing right now, it's still in its infant stages where players don't know where to go. If to hit high, low, I mean, we got to get a time to see how this thing, you know, dwindles out and see if the equipment advances to a point where we can say, hey, all right, go out there, kid.
Yeah, and, you know I think we'll see maybe a dip in participation like we're seeing now, and that might continue for a while. But if we kind of, if you know, we start implementing these new measures into making the game safer, then maybe participation will come back up.
You know, do you think this report that Pop Warner, you know, the decline of 9.5% over the years, do you think, and, you know, Pop Warner releasing a statement that, no, this isn't about concussions. This is about, lack of interest. I mean, kids focusing on one sport and, you know, not trying out football. You'll go back to Mike's point. Do you think it's because of concussions or is it because of that?
I think it's a mixed bag. I don't think you can rule out concussions, though. That's
right,
a big deal. It's in the news cycle almost every day now. You know, just different revelations, different stories, different people suffering from CTE and stuff. I mean, that's constantly on sports websites. That's constantly the story that's being pushed now. But at the same time, those other factors, you know, they probably do play a part. I mean, kids do love Xbox.
They do, you know, they get distractions.
They love Twitter.
Yes, that's
but,
true.
You know, and they do specialize in one sport, which is another big mistake that people are making.
That's another conversation we would have in the future. But yeah, I never agree with, you know, a kid just focusing on one sport throughout his entire career.
What a great way to burn out
right
on a sport.
Exactly. You know, because the thing is, I mean, what if that kid, you know, has a talent for the game of baseball or something like that? You will never know because he's focused so much on football or basketball,
right,
whatever sport that is. I have never agreed. That's one of the reasons why I always wanted to play baseball when I was in high school. But my coach was so big on, you know, off-season training, practice in the off-season with basketball, so much that he wouldn't let certain players who were, you know, the leading scorer on the team or leading guy
right
with assist, he wouldn't let us play anything else.
See,
you know?
And that's not fair to the kids because, you know, let's say you're 11 and you show some talent at basketball, and then from there your parents or coaches or whoever just push you in that direction and only that direction. What if by the time you're 17, you just hate playing basketball?
Right.
You know, it's been nonstop for
right
6 years.
It's force fed down your
entire adolescence. Like, that's a good way to make your kid hate the game.
Right.
I just feel like let them spread out. I mean, they're young. Let them find what they like.
Exactly.
Give them all the opportunities in any sport.
Right.
Yeah, football included. Just, you know, if they're younger, just let them play flag football.
I
don't see, you know, and you talk about the heads up program where they're kind of teaching new tackling techniques and how to play the game in a different way. Why wouldn't you just funnel all the younger kids to flag football until you get that heads up football thing in place so that by the time they are 14, the first time they're learning how to tackle, they're learning how to do it the right way.
Exactly.
In a safe way.
Yeah, and I even think, you know, if they were, which I think would be a great idea, if you know, there should be a limit. I think there should be a limit age as to when you can start getting tackled and playing, you know, collision football. I think there should be an age set for that. And before then, if you want to play football, I think they should play, play flag football. Flag football is a fun sport. You learn team camaraderie. You learn companionship. You learn all that stuff. You know, you're a part of a team. You learn all of that stuff. And I think the heads up football program should be a part of flag football as well, so that, you know, to try to prepare kids who are playing flag football, that when they start knocking heads, they know how to do it.
Exactly. You know? And, you know, you look at some of these. There's a five-year-old division, the Tiny Mite division of Pop Warner.
Why are
5-year-olds? Why do they need to be hitting each other?
Like, exactly. And you know what, Matt?
They have to be at least 35 pounds. That is ridiculous.
That is crazy. Yeah, I don't agree
with that.
There's
no need for, I mean, it's, you know, hilarious and cute to see just little kids bopping around in all the football gear, but it's not worth it if it's going to be a long-term health risk.
No, not at all. And you know what's something so interesting? I don't know if you saw, there was a report about, you know, kids, I forget the country, but they're actually participating in Muay Thai. And some of these kids, I mean, it's a very, they live in a very poor, you know, atmosphere. And they put these kids, you know, who are as young as, get this, Matt, 5 years old, participating in Muay Thai. And they're competing in an arena with individuals, with spectators placing bets on who they think which kid will win. Did you see that report?
I did not.
It is so disturbing.
Awful lot like exploitation.
Yes, very, very true. And these kids actually get paid depending on if they win the fight or not. I could not believe that report. That's another realm. But, yeah, kids, I mean, even in boxing, I mean, and kids are participating. You can go online right now. I mean, kids are participating in boxing at such a young age now, in UFC, mixed martial arts at such a young age, and actually competing. And it's getting a little out of hand.
Yeah.
Right now, you know?
But you know, if you're a parent, you don't – I understand giving your kids the opportunity, but at a certain point, you know, having a five-year-old get in a cage with another five-year-old so they can just beat on each other.
That's it's inhuman.
Seems counterproductive. It just seems like a bad idea all around.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll see how this plays out, man. We want to get your thoughts again. Would you let your little one participate in the game of football knowing what we know now about concussions? Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. When we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you a chance to hear what was said after MSU's win over Kentucky to claim that number one spot. And it's Thursday, so you know that means Throwback Thursday is coming right at you. We will talk about what happened on this Thursday in sports history. And one of them involves Dennis the Menace, Dennis Rodman. You don't want to miss that. Keep it locked right here. Current Sports is coming right back.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, just in time for Thanksgiving, resident chef Kathy Gunst with the inside scoop on the perfect pie.
This has apple and pear in it with a little bit of apple cider, ground ginger, cinnamon, and allspice.
Next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm WKAR's Emmanuel Berry, host of Current State Weekend. Spend your weekends with me as I highlight Current State's weekday stories and explore Mid-Michigan's vibrant arts and culture scene. We'll cover from the latest at Wharton Center to community events. Tune in Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at noon for WKAR's Current State Weekend.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, I want to remind you all that we are taking your calls throughout this entire show on whether or not you would let your child play the game of football knowing what we know now about concussions. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. I also want to read one more message that came through on our Facebook page. Again, you can comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Lanita says, I'm sorry, but I'm a lovely / caring mother. I'm not going to let my son up for it. I have to weigh out the danger in each situation, and if I feel it's too dangerous, he's not doing it. Well, at least not until he gets old enough to move out of my house. Call me what you want, but no, he better pick up a book. That's one tough mom right there. There you go. Lanita, speaking up for the moms out there, she just laid down the whip. Pick up a book, son. All right? And I always wondered, man, because baseball, I mean, baseball players make so much money.
They do.
Beaucoup amounts of money. I mean, I just wish I would have played baseball, man, in high school.
Yeah, but you got to wear pants all summer. You got to wear pants all summer.
If that's a sacrifice I got to make, Matt, to make a boatload of money, I'll do it.
$15 million a
year. Come on, baby. Yeah. Oh, man, sign me up for that. Okay, well, let's shift gears now. Let's talk about, we're going to go back to that MSU-Kentucky win. Michigan State win, of course, becoming the number one college basketball team of the nation. MSU pulling out a 78-74 win at the Coaches Classic in Chicago at the United Center. We didn't get a chance to play some of the post-game sound from that game. So here's John Calipari, Gary Harris, and Tom Izzo. Oh, and also Keith Appling weighing in on and giving you their thoughts after that game.
You got guys that can drive it. They've got big people. They run their stuff. Their five men set great screens on the ball. And they're a good execution team. This is the second game out, and they go 17 assists, seven turns. I mean, that's a big – that's unbelievable. And, again, I understand we're not the greatest defensive team, but I don't care who you're playing, 17 and 7. And with these lights and all that was going on around them, and, you know, they're well coached. Tom's a great coach, and they played well.
I mean, this game doesn't mean anything, honestly. I mean, we didn't win a Big Ten championship. We didn't win a national championship from this game. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it was a huge game. I mean, we love to play in games like that. And we got the win, so which is good. But, I mean, there's still a lot of things we can work on. We definitely didn't rebound as much, you know. The bigs did all they could, but guards like myself, you know, Keith got a lot of rebounds, but us other guards, we had to get in there and rebound more. And, you know, we missed a lot of cutouts. And offensively, we got kind of stagnant in the second half. But, you know, I mean, there's still plenty we can work on. And we just got to go back, watch the film, and get ready for our next game.
We'll see now when we get back to campus. Are we going to – I like what they said. You know, I want them to enjoy the game. I told them the year's a process of these games. But you know, there's going to be, you know, a little added pressure on, a little more, but that's the fun, man. I said my first key to the game was play hard and have fun. And I haven't said that as often, but I love this group right now. I think they care about each other. And, you know, Irvin talked to the team at the pregame meal, and, you know, it just seems like everybody's on the same page. When that happens, you got a chance to be good. And I keep reiterating, they're going to get a lot better. But I honestly believe so are we. They know how they played. I think the locker room was great, but it wasn't like we won the national championship or something, because we didn't. And I think I got a mature enough team. You know, Gary, for his age, is incredibly mature. And Keith, give Keith Appling credit. He's really grown up. And, you know, we've kind of not talked about Adrian Payne. And I think he was hard to guard down there, too. We didn't do as good a job getting him the ball early. And then with the foul trouble, we were almost afraid that, you know, that he'd get an offensive foul because he got one posting up. So we were a little skeptical on what to do. But the locker room was good. My four stars all played very well. And the other guys got to play a little better. Last guys, you know, they got to get better, and they will get better. And it was a big win for us. I think it was a night of college basketball that this is unbelievable setting. We'll see what we can do with a bullseye on our back. Thanks.
Yes, well, the bullseye is alive and ready and painted red, folks. Right on the backs of the Spartans, as they are the number one team in the nation now after that win over Kentucky. And I tell you what, Matt, I like Gary Harris's response, saying, hey, just another game. You know, we didn't win a national championship. We didn't win a Big Ten championship. We're not celebrating here. Just another game. Taking it in stride. And you look at Izzo's. You know, if you listen to his bite, he's like, oh, I love it. This is why you play the game, baby. You know what I mean? He's embracing it. I would have thought it would be the opposite. You know what I mean? But Izzo is definitely embracing it, and that's something I didn't expect. You know, looking at the whole – even coming into this season before the Kentucky game, even in exhibition season, before exhibition season at Media Day. I mean, Izzo's not downplaying. He's liking that target on his back.
I think more than that, he's liking how his team is responding to that target on his back.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And he said it, you know, it's a mature group, and it is, and you just have to love the focus that, you know, at least in all their quotes, and it sure seems like in how they play, they are focused on the end of the season. They're focused on accomplishing their goals, which all are at the end of the season.
Right.
I don't know. This team, I'm excited because, you know, like Calipari said, 17 assists and 7 turnovers against a team that is as long and athletic, and I know they really didn't play great defense at all.
No.
But, I mean, you still have 6'9" Julius Randle, 7-foot Willie Cauley-Stein. You know.
Oh yeah, Kentucky.
The Harrison
like,
twins are all 6'6". I mean.
Yeah, just like Izzo said, Kentucky's going to get better.
Oh yeah, they're going to get a heck of a lot better.
Yeah, they're going to be scary. But it's going to be scary to see how good they are if they stay healthy. To see how good they are once March comes around, without a doubt. But then if you look at MSU combating that talent the way they did, I mean, they're going to get better too, and it's going to be so fun to watch this team evolve over the season, you know?
Yeah.
Because there are so many components that you just look at, and there's so much potential. I'm excited, man.
No, I am too, and people make a big deal about the rebounding, and, you know, that was right. An issue. It certainly was.
It was.
They're not going to play a front line that is as big and talented as Kentucky unless they play Kentucky again, probably in the Final Four.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
Ghana's going to get a chance to grow up this year. I think he's going to get minutes. Costello, Schilling, all those guys, because that's kind of the missing piece. If they get one more big guy who can contribute on a consistent basis, and it's not, you know, he doesn't have to get a double-double. He's
right.
Got to get 6 and 8. Something like that. Just
yeah, something decent.
Be a threat.
Right.
Rebound, play defense, and, you know, rebound for your position. Then, I mean, there's no weaknesses.
Yeah, because like if there is a chink in the arm that we saw that game, it is that inside presence. Because we saw once Adrian Payne went out, and you bring in a guy like Ghana, it just the rebound. The biggest thing for me was looking at the second chance opportunities and how many of them, you know, came to surface once Adrian Payne went to that bench. And man, Ghana, you gotta muscle somebody out, man. You gotta get big down there, baby.
Just box out.
Yeah, box out, man.
Granted, yeah, I would have
lost.
Would have liked
there.
A few over the back calls because it seemed like Kentucky was just.
They were just doing whatever they wanted to
pay. Through anybody.
Yeah,
you know, maybe if you get a more solid box out, then you get a call or something. But either way, you gotta be stronger on the glass.
You gotta be so I mean, Ghana just looked like a little rag doll.
I mean, he would get pushed out on free throws.
Right. I mean, yeah, exactly.
I mean,
you know, you gotta get tougher down there. And I think Costello possibly Schilling. He's a beast.
I think Schilling's gonna be.
He may be the man
by like February.
You think he'll be starting?
I don't know if he'll be starting, but
he'll be that backup
presence.
One of
the first guys off the bench. Yeah.
Right, right. Of course, he's not going to. I mean, you got Adrian Payne and Brandon Dawson down there, but yeah, he could possibly see him being a factor. Yeah, without a doubt. So, all right, well, let's take a quick break, Matt. When we come back, let's hit up Throwback Thursday, and also the MSU women's basketball team is in action tonight as they try to shake off that loss against nationally ranked Notre Dame this week. They have Canisius tonight at 7 p.m. We'll give you a quick game preview of that. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back.
On the next Fresh Air, Bruce Dern. He stars in the new Alexander Payne film, Nebraska, as an ex-alcoholic with early dementia who falls for a sweepstakes come-on. To play this character, who's a little removed from reality, Dern took out his hearing aids. When you took out your hearing aids, how did that affect your performance?
Huh?
Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, it is Thursday, so you know that means it's Throwback Thursday. It's when we are on Current Sports. We look back on what happened on this Thursday, in sports history. Today is November 14th, 2013. Matt, what are some of the notable sporting events that took place on this day?
Well, we have a lot of Cy Young Awards, MVP Awards, Manager of the Year Awards. But I'm pretty much just going to skip all those.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's so many.
You
yeah.
can look those up. we'll take it back to 1943. This one has a recent tie, actually, with the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Nick Foles. Chicago's Sid Luckman became the first player in history to pass for 7 touchdowns in one game.
It's a lot of touchdowns.
Stands as the record for one game.
Yeah,
he
is.
Also was the first player to throw for over 400 yards. Don't know what defense he was playing. Didn't look like they were playing a lot of it either way.
Yeah.
But hats off to Sid Luckman.
And I'll tell you what, I'm not drinking the Nick Foles Kool-Aid, even though he's looked very well. Very, very well.
He might be good.
I don't know, man.
You know, he used to be a Spartan.
You know, I'm hating. This is just the Al Martin hater raid coming out right now because I picked the man up when Michael Vick first went out that one weekend on my fantasy team, and he played like my grandma. Okay, and I'm not.
He was
not,
garbage.
Yeah.
He was garbage.
Upsetting. All right.
It's true. All right, next up, 1970. This one's a bit more somber. 37 members of the Marshall University football team pass away in a plane crash near Canova, West Virginia.
Yeah,
everybody
sad.
Knows that story.
Yeah.
They made the movie a few years ago. Terrible stuff.
I didn't know they made a movie out of it. They made a movie out of it.
Oh, yeah, Matthew McConaughey.
I have not seen that.
Oh, yeah. All right, 1994. L.A. Kings president Bruce McNall was charged with defrauding six banks to obtain nearly $236 million in loans from January 1983 to April 1994.
Well, who is this?
Bruce McNall.
How
L.A.
much
Kings
money?
President. So if you want a sports franchise, Al, all you have to do
That's
is defraud
do.
Six banks.
That sounds pretty easy.
And you'll get your capital.
Man, how long is he in jail for? Oh, my God.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of
moolah. That is a lot of money. All right, 1998, Mount Union from Alliance, Ohio, sets a Division III record for consecutive victories with 38 straight in a 30-21 win over Baldwin Wallace. Also in 1998, Florida State's Mario Edwards ties an ACC record with four interceptions in one game in a 24-7 win over Wake Forest.
It's a good day.
It's a great day.
Four interceptions, man.
2007, I know you'll know this one, the NFL reinstates Miami Dolphins running back Tricky Ricky Williams, who had not played in the league since 2005 because of a suspension for numerous violations of the league's drug policy.
Hey, he's a great guy to go to advice for, huh?
Yeah.
I'd say that's who Jonathan Martin went to advice for after, in light of this whole incognito bullying situation. And that's the first guy that Richie Incognito went to advice for was Ricky Williams. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Interesting stuff.
Wow, apparently. All right. 2008, the Tampa Bay Lightning, just a few weeks after hiring him, fire head coach Barry Melrose. Of course, you know, famous ESPN analyst.
Yeah.
Got a great mullet.
Yeah, he did.
Not a great coach. Apparently, players said he had no game plan at all.
Not at all.
Just kind of went in thinking he could wing it. That didn't work out so
can't
well.
Do that. Come on, man. You're a coach.
We also have 1993, Don Shula of the Miami Dolphins, more Dolphin news, sets a new NFL record with his 325th victory. Last but not least, 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Rodman gets married to Carmen Electra
Las
Vegas, Nevada, and they lived happily ever after for, like, I don't know, Two months, three months.
That's how it was, you know. It's kind of like how Michael Jackson was with,
Lisa Marie Presley.
Lisa Marie Presley. That's how it was, man. Just 2 months. Like, why even get married? It's crazy.
Nothing like a publicity wedding.
There's
especially when you're marrying Dennis Rodman.
Right, exactly. He was just the weirdest.
Still is. Pretty weird.
Very weird. But you know what? He's rather, if you listen to him talk, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I kind of compare it to Mike Tyson. When you looked at Mike Tyson's career and his antics back in the day, I mean, biting off, you know, Holyfield's ear and all that kind of stuff, you're like, man, this dude is crazy. But when you sit down with Mike and listen to him talk, he's pretty intelligent to a degree. You know what I mean? Very intelligent. There's a lot of things interesting to
and
say.
With both of them, it seems like they've definitely mellowed out.
Yeah, they have.
You know, as they've gotten
life
older.
Life has hit them.
Exactly. They're out of their, you know, sports, respectively, you know, basketball and boxing. They've mellowed out. They've gotten some perspective on things.
Right, right. I'd say Dennis Rodman, he's got some game, though. He pulled a Carmen Electra, man. Dressing, you know, in the wedding dress and the colored hair, wackiness. Carmen Electra, she has some interesting taste.
Yeah, apparently.
Man.
Now, going along with the Dennis Rodman, Mike Tyson thing, Mike Tyson's new book, he talks about two stories involving – he has one about Rick James and one about Prince.
Does he?
They are the exact same stories that are in Chappelle's Show.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
The Charlie Murphy present. They are the exact same stories. I'm not sure if he's just like
– Hold on. He tells a story about the couch and all that – hold on. So was Tyson there?
I don't know. But you would think Chappelle if he was – that Chappelle would include him in that sketch.
Right. You would think so. Yeah, I mean, you see Mike Tyson, he would definitely love to do that.
I mean, how do you leave him out of that?
Right.
At least not even a mention of him.
Right. Exactly.
Very interesting stuff. I'm
I don't have to Google that, man.
I think I'm going to have to buy that book.
Exactly. The exact same stories. I tell you, he has a reality show out now, I believe, and Tyson's doing his thing, you know. Interesting stuff. So, well, thank you for that. Throwback Thursday. It's always fun to see what happens. A lot happens on Thursdays in sports. I don't know why.
Big days, Thursdays.
We've had some interesting ones here on the show. All right. Well, tonight, the MSU women's basketball team, they hit the hardwood and get back to work. Coming off of that loss to Notre Dame tonight, Susie Merchant is getting her squad ready to play Canisius. Now, again, Michigan State is ranked 19th in the nation. They begin a four-game homestand tonight. The Spartans have won 13 of their last 14 home openers. They look to bounce back again after that loss to Notre Dame. Now, about Canisius, just to give you guys a quick game preview, the Golden Griffins, that's their name, were picked sixth in the MAAC preseason poll after posting a 12-19 record last season, including an 8-10 conference mark. Canisius opened the 2013-14 season with a 77-67 victory over Detroit on November 8th. Jamie Ruddle, a preseason 13 All-MAAC selection, led the Golden Griffins in the opener with 19 points as Canisius made 11 three-pointers. Now, an interesting aspect to this story, Matt, is former Spartan Satira Washington, who was a very good player with the MSU basketball team back in the day. This is her first season as an assistant coach with the Golden Griffins. Washington is a four-year letter winner and spent the last two seasons as MSU graduate assistant. And this will be the very first time that Michigan State and Canisius will be meeting ever. So we'll see how that one pans out. And, of course, we had Mo Gerhardt on the show talking about this team. And Satira, I'm looking forward to Satira. Again, she was a great player. She did a great job while she was here at MSU. And there'll certainly be some Spartan love. Maybe she had a lot to do with scheduling this game, I would assume.
I hope she's not giving them all our plays. And
that'd be a little, come on, Satira, come on. I know we love you, but can't be doing that, man. But very interested to see how Kate Bell plays tonight. Clarissa Bell, of course, who is MSU's leading scorer from last season. Ariel Powers, I'm definitely going to be looking at her to see, you know, because looking at Mo, I mean, Mo is definitely raining down praises about Ariel Powers, who tore her ACL last year and was not able to play, unfortunately. Of course, Brandy Agee, you know, she's coming off an ACL injury. The main thing, bottom line here, is that this MSU basketball team is finally healthy. Something we had, knock on the wood. It's just something we have not been able to see from this team in quite a long time. And, you know, something that, you know, really stands out last season, Matt, was even though, in light of all of those injuries, the MSU women's basketball team had one of the best starts in program history. They rattled off. I can't remember the number right now, but they were just winning left and right, which speaks volumes about Susie Merchant, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, she really had like a woman rotation going on and was able to really do something special with that team. So I believe they are projected right now to finish third in the Big Ten standings in the preseason polls. And, you know, we'll see. I'll be out there covering the game, and we will definitely bring you post-game sound from that game. So definitely looking forward to that. So
yeah, and there's no shame in losing to number 6 Notre Dame on the road in the first game of the year.
Not at all.
I mean, that's almost an unwinnable game.
Yeah.
I mean, just first game of the season, you're working out the kinks still. You're on the road in a hostile environment against one of the best teams in the country. That's a tall task. I think there's no shame in losing that game. You know, they went 3-for-17 from three-point land, missed their first 13 three-pointers. Right. I don't see that happening again, especially against Canisius.
I don't either.
But, you know, they just got to get on track. I think, you know, 0-1, big deal.
You're playing
season
Notre
starts
Dame.
Today.
Yeah,
exactly.
Season starts today, exactly. You just got to brush that off because, again, Notre Dame is a nationally recognized powerhouse, to be honest with you. Of course, they dished out there without Skylar Diggins, Skylar Diggins is a acclaimed player for years at Notre Dame, is now, I believe, I forget what pick she was in the WNBA draft, but she was top three, I believe, part of that three that came out, of course, with Deladine and Brittany Griner. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, she's definitely having a lot of success. And, so we'll see what happens. MSU and Canisius tonight. We'll have post-game sound for you all coming from that game tomorrow.
Now, real quick, Al.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to put my Alex hat on. Talk about recruiting a little bit. Just before the show, Rivals number one prospect, Deshaun Hand.
Yeah, Deshaun Hand, yeah.
Picks Alabama over Florida and Michigan. the hits just keep coming to those Michigan fan base.
They do. I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. With these kids, you never know what
you
they're going
to
do. They're young. I mean, it could be the littlest thing could sway their decision on going to a school.
Right.
Maybe, look, oh, this locker room is pretty cool. I'm going to go here.
Exactly.
Oh, look at the girls here at this school. Oh, I'm going to go here. Oh. I mean, you never know. There's so many factors that weigh into a kid, high school kid, deciding where he wants to go to college.
Absolutely. I'm just, you know, it's kind of nice that, you know, people in the state of Michigan don't have to hear about the next great Michigan player
right.
who's a five-star and is so good and he's going to be great. It's just one fewer
right.
that everyone has to listen to.
That
so,
is.
Deshaun Hand. Have fun at Alabama.
There you go. He's going to Alabama. Nick Saban, have fun with that one. That would be a media circus, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. All right, well, good stuff, good stuff. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks for all of you out there for tuning in. Again, catch Current Sports TV tonight as I sit down with Ali Easley, the head trainer over at the Crown Boxing Club. He's done a great job over there, and also the founder of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. He's done an extraordinary job over there, and you get to see me hop in the ring. But anyway, check it out tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic day, and be easy, people.